Yes, 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 we do. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, yes, we do, Jesus. Woo. But all we have to do is welcome him. And when we do, he will. He wants to come in. He never forces his way, we know. But he wants to come in. And when we welcome him, he does and he will and he has tonight. And claim it tonight. He is the never drying source, the never drying. And he's that ever living and everlasting water. He never fails. And it doesn't matter when it is. Right now, if you need a touch from God, never drying fountain, ever living and everlasting. And then comforter, if you need comfort, claim it tonight. We've just sung this song. We're going to claim it in the name of the Lord. Counselor, comforter, refreshing, whatever you need. If whether you're at home or you are here, whatever you need, hallelujah. Let's claim it together right now in the name of Jesus. God, your presence certainly proves itself again tonight, Lord. And I thank you for the experience, and I thank you for the relationship that we have. And now, Lord, we want that to happen tonight. Aren't you thankful it's not just go through the motions, but he is a real God, and he is a living God, and he enters into our life and our life experience. And he is doing that right now. And I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that to be a part of a church that we do not just go through the motions. And I'm not saying we're totally exempt from that. There's a proneness to that in our humanity. But we do our best as the people of God to stay alive and sensitive to what God wants to help us do. It's his plan anyway. It's his power anyway, isn't it? And we just plug into that and ask for the Lord's help and ask for his blessings. And he's going to be a comforter to somebody tonight. He's going to be a counselor to somebody tonight. He is going to be that never drying fountain. When you get to the place, if you're there right now, you're going to feel him. You're going to be able to drink from his presence. Or if you get to a place in the next few days or next month where it seems like a dry, barren wasteland, he's going to become that never drying fountain. He's always going to be there. It doesn't matter when. Woo, I feel a thanksgiving in our hearts for that. That's right. Go ahead. Wherever you are, go ahead. Go ahead. I thank you, Jesus. My. Oh, Lord, you're so good to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, oh, yes. And what makes that even better, when you think about as compared to us, when our resources and our source seem so exhausted and we feel empty and we can't come up with the answer or with the peace, the Lord is always there and he never fails, and thank God for that. We're going to continue our lesson we began last week on prayer, and if you did not receive a lesson sheet and would want one, just lift a hand and the ushers are ready to give you one of those to be able to help you to follow along. Prayer does change things. Amen. Prayer changes us. And what we know, really, when we say that, we understand it's really God that does that, but he allows us to use the channel of prayer, the access door, if you would, of prayer to get there. And we made our way through, and in case just some of the highlights, I'll just tell you the reason it's named the prayer interrupting heaven is because that's exactly what Abraham did when he prayed and interceded for Lot and Sodom. That's what Moses did for the entire nation of Israel when basically, I guess you just say, God got fed up. I don't know, is that phrase still used very much anymore? But that's kind of what happened, you know. And that section in Exodus is interesting. Moses, God's saying, your people, Moses, and Moses is saying, your people, God. It's kind of like neither one of them want to claim the people of God because they were both fed up, you know, and tossing it back and forth. But thank the Lord There is an intercessory prayer that works. There's a God that can change things if we will trust that God. I do feel a faith here tonight. I feel a trust and a confidence in Him. And we are not just robotically going through the motions. I know that I teach to people who you have actually experienced in the experience of prayer and the relationship with God that He intervenes, doesn't He? He helps us and He intervenes for us. We received a report yesterday during prayer meeting from Sister Hudson. I asked her to write it down. And you know, we've been praying for her daughter, Jackie Cox, who was diagnosed back in October of triple negative breast cancer. She went through a series of chemo treatments. There were other difficulties that she experienced, had to have emergency surgery, and They just felt like, well, the prognosis was just not good at certain points along the way. And so they told her that after this surgery, that she was going to have additional, at least three more chemo treatments. And so they sent her a few weeks ago to Indiana University Cancer Center for test and possible trial for that therapy that she was going to be receiving. And there was prayer, and Sister Hudson in her testimonial, your email testimonial, said that there was prayer from the very beginning, and they prayed that they would find no cancer. And when they went to the doctor, when they went to that Indiana University, and then 2 weeks later when she went with a follow-up for her doctor, this was the report: there is no cancer to treat. Hallelujah. Our God is a helper. And He is a healer, and we thank God for it. And she goes on to tell about prayer that was had by the prayer group here and the church here and other family members, and of course she herself. And she wraps it up with this. She said, I want to thank the church and the prayer group for praying for her. And her last line is, praise God, He is our healer. Our God is a healer, and if you need healing tonight, our God is for you, and His word is to you. In fact, I believe that testimony is a landmark for you to trust and believe in the Lord Almighty. So He does change things. He's a prayer-answering God. And we know that we talked about desperate prayer. One of the blanks was that desperate prayer is not sufficient in and of itself. And then we were wrapping up last week about how to pray, the power of prayer, and that timid, faithless, fearless prayer is foreign to Scripture and scriptural characters, but Bible prayer is persistent, and it is shameless, and it is impertinent. It does not give up. Prayer does not give up. And so to somebody tonight, if you've prayed for it already, go ahead and pray for it again. And do not feel, do not wander away in doubt, or do not feel like your prayer is hopeless and that you are helpless or that your prayer has been hapless. But believe that God is able, and just keep on praying even when it seems like we do not sense or receive the answer. Our God hears us. At the top of the second page, we'll begin here tonight. And it is important to remember that prayer does not happen automatically. I know there are sometimes those desperate prayers we prayed about or we talked about last week. Those just kind of pour out when we're in a desperate situation. But for the most part, prayer does not happen automatically. And I would say this, in talking with people and even assessing my own experience, I would say that prayer is one of the spiritual disciplines that people feel the most guilty about. Well, really, it's not prayer they feel guilty about. It's probably the lack of prayer that we feel guilty about. There's something in our mindset that says, okay, I've been in the church X number of years. I really do love God. Prayer, and so our self-expectation is prayer ought to just flow out of me. What's wrong with me that I'm having difficulty keeping up with prayer or being consistent in prayer, whatever the question might be? But, you know, think about this. Consider Jesus' disciples. They had a front row seat to watch the greatest prayer whoever prayed. They loved him. They believed in him. They witnessed the great miracles that he performed. They had that front row seat, and yet effective prayer evidently did not just flow out of the disciples, at least at the beginning. And that's what prompted the request that was the lesson text and is from Luke 11, where the man comes to the Lord, the one disciple says, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. He and they were not just asking, and that prayer is not just given to be about what words should I say. There's nothing wrong with saying those words. But really behind the ask there was these disciples had observed something. They wanted to pray like Jesus, not in the sense of exactly mimicking his words, but they wanted a prayer life like Jesus. And what I mean by that, they noted that Jesus hungered for prayer. Prayer was something that seemed to feed his spirit like food fed their stomachs. It seemed to be so much more about relationship than about ritual. And when it is relationship, we would find ourselves hungering for prayer, hungering for that encounter with God. They also noticed this, the reason they asked, Lord, teach us to pray. They noticed that he prayed consistently, but at crisis times, like when he was grieving over the death of John the Baptist, you'll find him praying. When he was tired from ministry, you find him praying. At other crisis points, his consistent response, the one common response to all of the crisis points in Christ's life was he went to prayer. They observed that. Now, they may have overheard him. They may have heard what he said. But it was more about wanting that relationship and that spirit of prayer and that hunger for prayer. In other words, they wanted to be nourished by prayer the way he was. What this is a template for us. A desire to be nourished by prayer. There's a tendency in us to look at it as a discipline box to check. You know, and as we come upon times like next week and other times when we give ourselves specifically to prayer, or just our daily prayer life or our consistent prayer life, there's a tendency to look at it as only a ritual or a box to check. But the disciples were seeing Jesus in being nourished by prayer. Now, did he get tired during prayer times? Evidently. Did his flesh always feel like praying? Evidently not, because he said the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak in its desire for this prayer time. So the point of this request and the point of this story, one of them is that prayer is a learned behavior. It can be taught and it can be learned. In other words, to learn how to desire to draw near to God and learning about that fact that it does nourish us and our perspective on prayer and our understanding of what prayer is, relationship versus ritual. And so we can learn to pray. And so we should be students of that. And that would help us not to just throw up our hands and say, well, you know, I've never really known how to pray. We can learn how to pray. And Jesus is a patient teacher, and his word is a patient teacher. And so anytime we struggle with prayer, a good way to look at that, or the right way to look at that, is I can learn how to do this. The disciples and others learned how to do it. And as much as it would appear to us, just remember, we only have certain pages of their life from the pages of Scripture. And we may read about the highlight times when they prayed and people responded and God's power worked. But there were many days in between where they had the same human struggles. And they were men and women of like passion as we are. And so they had to learn how to pray. So I just want to encourage you. I encourage, do the reading, read in the scripture, read spiritual discipline books, whatever it is, talk with people. I enjoy talking to people, and not to get invasive, and you can do this, but talk to them about their prayer life. We did electives and breakouts a few years ago. So I just interviewed some folks and said, you know, how is it that you pray? In fact, this is part of this next section. I just asked them, you know, what's kind of your prayer pattern, and what do you have a certain place, and do you have a certain time? And all of this plays into helping to learn how to pray. So reading and looking at scripture and reading books and even talking to others to help us. And there are some very foundational things that we can implement in order to help us to learn to pray. And I mentioned just a few of them there. I mentioned two basic things here in the notes. Set a time. In other words, having a time. Now, I would say on this, choose the best time possible. Now, that's not the only time that you can pray, as you know. And there are going to be many other times that you will. But in order to set that discipline or that habit of prayer, it's been proven that if you will set a time, the best time possible for you, if you're a good early person, then maybe that's a good time to pray. If you're a night owl, maybe that's your best time. Or whenever your best time is, set that time and choose that best time. The time, in other words, the time you're at your best. Because really, folks, doesn't he deserves our best. And including our worship, including our choices, our priorities, but also even including our time. Our whole life is wrapped up in him. It's a lifestyle. And so just giving him our best time. And on that time element, as far as time frame of prayer, there is no particular barometer in Scripture. We talk about praying an hour or whatever. But I would say about this, especially if you are early implementing or trying to re-implement a time of prayer, begin slowly. That time may seem short. It may be a 5 or 7, a 10-minute segment, whatever you choose. But it's better to get a short time established and then let that lengthen out than say, okay, today I'm praying an hour and a half today. And maybe we haven't prayed a lick in a long time. Well, an hour and a half will probably be okay, maybe the first day, and maybe even the second day, and maybe even most of that week. But somewhere along the line, if we're human, assuming we are, and we are, we're going to be tempted to quit. But if we begin and then let it expand and let it grow. And again, back to that hungering thing, a person that starts at 5 and really goes into prayer, it won't stay 5. It won't stay at some little token thing, but it will go beyond that. And so set a time and also set a place. Now, Jesus did this. He chose certain places. He chose places that supported his attempt to pray. Sometimes you just have to get away from it. Now, that's, again, like the time, the place is not the only place that you will pray, but it does help. And in those interviews that I did with people in setting up for that class, I found, you know, somebody had a particular chair that they like to kneel by or sit in, or a particular place that they like to go to pray. But whatever it is that can serve the strengthening of establishing the habit of prayer, and to make sure that we're at a place where we can be focused. Now, it is good to pray at any time, and we're driving down the highway, and we all live such busy, busy lives. I'd say put it in any time we can. I would also add to that to make sure that there are some times when we are not multitasking. But again, about God deserving our best, we are not multitasking, but we are giving some time, especially carving it out and say, okay, this time belongs to you, God. Does he hear us when we're driving? Does he hear us when we're cleaning or when we're doing something out in the yard? Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. But there is something about, there's that special commitment of that focused time with him where it's set aside, and he observes that and takes it in. I've heard of people, in fact, a former pastor's wife, Sister Aline Black, did this, and there was an article in Pentecostal Life, or it was called Pentecostal Herald at that time, where she actually would take a chair and set it in the room, or it was already there in the room, and so she just positioned herself and just imagined, if you would, please, and I don't know that she was really imagining, that the Lord was there. That helped her to focus her prayer and make it where what it was supposed to be, a conversation. And she would just have a conversation with the Lord. I heard one of our great elders talk about keeping a notepad. He was talking to preachers, and he said, preachers, keep your notepad right by your bedstand or with you wherever you are, because he said, the Lord may drop you some thought and some inspiration, some scripture, and you'll say, I'm going to remember that. Yeah, and I can tell by the responses that's happened. That happens about grocery lists. That happens about car needs. That happens about, it even happens about scripture and thoughts. But he said he kept a little notepad nearby. And then he talked about his prayer being a conversation. He said when he started prayer, he said, but this was Brother J.T. Pugh. He said he'd start out, said, Lord, it's J.T. I heard Brother Carlos Dees talked about his honor and respect to the Lord, and he talked about early in the morning. I can't say that I've measured up to this, but he would get out of bed and he would comb his hair. He would get dressed properly. I don't know that he would get dressed in suit and tie every time. He was one of our pastors and ministers, but he wanted to be presentable when he went before the King of Kings, he said. And so that was just his way of helping to establish an environment and a mindset in his mind that, hey, this is really a conversation, and I'm having a conversation with someone who is very honorable and who I want to respect, and it was his way of showing that respect. I added something here toward the close of this little section, set a purpose. And, of course, there's that general purpose. So if you set a time and set a place, but have a purpose. Of course, there's that general purpose that will always serve us to strengthen our relationship with God. But then there may be specific purposes where we pray for situations and needs. And we know, and it was mentioned in our prayer time tonight, and I just want to mention this to you. One of our ministers listed some good prayer focus for the times that we are in and the unrest that we are in and the way that our nation needs God. This was Brother Terry Schock who made this little listing, and I have it here for you. I don't have copies of this. It's not in the notes. But praying for our city, pray for the transformation of our city. Pray for God. I think we have those, Eric. The transformation of our city. Pray for God to remove powers of darkness. Pray for God's light to bring many to abundant life. You know, we pray against all bias and all prejudice and all evil and all injustice. We're not taking sides in any of this. The church needs to raise its voice and live by righteousness and live by holiness, and we can pray. Here's some things, and we're talking about praying with a purpose, praying for righteousness to be established so blessings can flow. Righteousness exalts a nation. And praying that relationships will be restored throughout the city. We talked last week about Abraham praying. And he prayed about Sodom and he prayed about Lot. And he prayed to God as though that conversation was going to mean something. You know what? These are not just a listing of prayer points that we can just float out there into the air. But we can pray this and believe that our conversation and God's response is going to make a difference, is going to change something. Praying for the Word of God to be understood. Many times there's a blindness to understanding the ways and the principles and the Word of God. And then praying that our eyes would be opened to what God sees, our vision for this year, and our theme is 2020 vision. Pray for our eyes to be open. Don't you want to see how God sees St. Louis? I want to see how God sees the United States and this world. We've come through the great COVID pandemic, and now we're in this season of unrest and some turmoil that certainly has happened in our land. But God can help us and help open the eyes to see, how do you see this, God? Now, I can come up with resolutions that I feel like would work. I want to know, God, what are your resolutions? How would you approach these people? How would you approach this situation? What would be your mindset? As pastor, I'm asking the Lord, God, what would you have to say to your people? And that is that we should pray for this nation, and we should pray for these situations. We want to see what God sees for our city. And then, listen, look at this. God, make us life-giving streams to help in the restoration. We don't want to add any more to the turmoil. Right? We don't want to add any more to the turmoil. There's enough out there. But we can pray that we would be a life-giving stream through which the power of the Spirit and righteousness would prevail, and love for all people. For we are one blood, all nations of one blood. And it doesn't matter who they are, God loves them. Every nationality and every race. Help us to be life-giving streams for restoration. Restoration. We're not for more division. We're for restoration. That's right. We're not for more injustice. We're for justice. Let justice prevail. Let peace prevail. Let there be a life-giving. That's that never-ending stream we were singing about a while ago, to help us in restoration. And then, this is big, that the glory of God would be made known. People will have to stop and say, this God can do something, and people will say. Now, some of them may not be able to totally describe it, but there will be many who will know, this was a God intervention. God did something here. God made a difference here. And it doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter what neighborhood it is. It can be that of the lowest income or the plushest neighborhood that there is in a county or a city. God can make a difference. We believe that. We believe your word, God. We believe your word, God. Hallelujah. I don't have the answers. I don't have all of the answers. I don't know. I don't even know some of the questions to ask, let alone all of the answers. But I know his word has it. And I know his spirit has it. And if we allow his spirit and his word to lead and guide us, and we talk to the right people, talk and listen. We need to both speak, but we need to be listening also. Yes, to hear wisdom, but to hear the hurt. To hear the voice of God and to hear the will of God. And so the Lord will help us. So a purpose, and that flows into some of the other preparations. You can have lists. And tonight, as you exit, if you want to, the United Pentecostal Church has published various prayer guides. And there's different prayer initiatives, praying for family, praying for missionaries, praying for the church, and various others. We have some of those here if you want to pick those up, and you can get those online. And there's many other type of prayer lists, prayer schedules. I had mine out here last week. I don't have it. I've got it on all my devices, just the prayer list that I use. Now, you can use the prayer list, and the prayer list doesn't have to use you. You be the master of the list. But most of us have good memory, but it's good and short sometimes. And so we just have to be, you know, it's kind of back to that earlier point. We say, well, my God, if I'm all filled with the Holy Ghost, that it just ought to flow out of me, and God ought to bring it to my remembrance. Sorry, we're human, you know. We're still in the flesh. Now, there will be inspirations, and there will be things that we will feel very deeply about, and we'll be driven to prayer about that and inspired to pray about that. But I'm just going to tell you, And I got a little bit later down here under learning to be fully present. Does your mind ever wander when you pray? Mine does. I mean, all my words are not, "Oh, Holy Father." Or at least my thoughts. Our mind tends to wander. Well, I found out that list can help me. Well, Pastor, if you're spiritual enough, your mind wouldn't wander. Phooey. I'm human enough for it to wander. So you need to go get it. Don't let it get too far. You know, some folks, you wonder, it's just wandered away. Oh, Lord. So, prayer lists, prayer schedules. I think we got a clock back there, too. Brother Eric, I think we got a prayer. So you've probably seen this before. Just use that. And there's handouts on this. We don't have it tonight, but you can go online and that divides up an hour, about 5 minutes each, praise and kingdom pray. It wraps all the way around back to praise and just a focused way of helping us in prayer preparations. And I do have a blank in there, and that blank is this: guard your prayer time. Somebody said this: the enemy doesn't care how much we sing about prayer, how much we read about prayer, how many men's meetings or women's meetings we have about prayer, but when we decide to pray and we do pray, he gets upset and fearful. So guard your prayer time. You could Google this probably, but David Wilkerson some years ago wrote an article called Conspiracy of Interruptions. And it's an article about prayer and how easy it is for interruptions to come whenever we begin to pray. Some of it's in our own mind, and then others, you know, sometimes it's phone or whatever it is. I never will forget, it hadn't been long that I was pastoring, and it was in the old building, and I was out there, and that was the day of cordless phones, and, you know, there was a lot of wire mesh in some of those plaster walls of that building, so the pickup wasn't always good everywhere you were. But I must have been expecting a phone call, so I took my prayer time. I was out there in the sanctuary. I was walking around, and I had that phone. I don't think I carried it all the way, but I'd laid it on the front bench. And the Lord was needing to work on me a little bit about prayer. He said, if you would be as interested in hearing from me as you are hearing that phone. Now, that didn't mean that phone call was unimportant. It must have been pretty important for me to take that out there. But the Lord was just kind of helping me to realize about the priority of prayer and making sure that I stayed guard your prayer time. Again, we could go back to that thing, well, bless God, if he wanted me to pray, he'd just carve out a whole 60 minutes and nothing would bother me. It won't happen, will it? It won't happen. But our mind will wander, situations will come, and we'll be distracted. So as you pray, and then under simple praying, I'm jumping all over these notes here, as you can see, but just follow me. Sister Christy put the headings in color, so it's a little easier to jump back and forth. Simple prayer is just praying what is on our hearts and in our thoughts. What comes to your heart, what comes to your thoughts. You know, somebody said if your mind keeps returning to a particular topic during prayer or during a person, whether it's good or bad thoughts that come. Have you ever been praying or just going through the day and the constant thought of a conflict that you're having with somebody keeps coming back to you? You know, instead of using that being a stumbling block, use that as a stepping. Maybe the Lord's wanting us to pray about that. You know? Instead of saying, get out of here, get behind me. Maybe the Lord is wanting us to do something about that conflict in the relationship. You know, he comes at us from all different angles. Perhaps a jealousy thought or accusing thoughts, or maybe even, and on the positive side, there may be some accomplishment and achievement that your mind keeps going to, maybe just through the day or even in your prayer time. Maybe it's something God wants you to pursue. It may look like a dream. It may look far-fetched. It may look like it's out of reach, but pray about it. And we've included a little review sheet, and I'm not going to go through this tonight, but it's just a little of a prayer review, and it just asks some questions about your prayer life, and it can help you to strengthen and formulate that time of prayer. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is talking with God about what we are doing together. I love that definition. It came out of Ortberg's book. Prayer is talking with God about what we, in other words, he and us are doing. That's what your prayer life's about. What are we doing together? There was a humorous but powerful story in the book about relationship and what we are doing together. You may have heard of a man by the name of Tony Campolo. He's a speaker, public speaker, speaks in various venues, a minister. And several years ago, and this is by his testimonial, he was invited, he said, to speak. He's a Baptist minister. He was invited to speak at a small Pentecostal college that wasn't very far away from the college that he taught, where he taught. He said, I love going to that little school because people there seem to be so in touch with the power of the Spirit. Here was this good Baptist minister talking about the Pentecostals, and they had invited him several times, and he said, I enjoyed going there because he sensed the power of the Holy Ghost. So before the chapel service on that occasion, several of the faculty members took me into a side room to pray with me. I got down on my knees, and six of them put their hands on my head and prayed for me, asking the Holy Spirit to fill me up and use me effectively as I spoke to the students. Here, this is his testimonial. Pentecostals seem to pray longer and with more dynamism than we Baptists do, he said. These men prayed long, and the longer they prayed, the more they leaned on my head. They prayed on and leaned harder and harder. One of them kept whispering, do you feel the Spirit? Do you feel the Spirit? To tell the truth, I felt something right at the base of my neck, but I wasn't sure it was the Spirit. One of the faculty members prayed at length about a particular man named Charlie Stolfus. That kind of ticked me off, and I thought to myself, if you're going to lean on my head, the least you can do is pray for me. He prayed on and on for this guy, Charlie Stolfus, who was about to abandon, according to the prayer, his wife and three children. I can still hear him calling out, Lord, Lord, don't let that man leave his wife and children. Send an angel to bring that man back to his family. Don't let the family be destroyed. You know who I'm talking about, Lord. You know, I'm talking about Charlie Stolfus. He lives down the road about a mile on the right-hand side in a silver trailer house. Campoli said, I thought to myself, being exasperated by now, God knows where he lives. Do you think God's up there saying, give me that address again? So following the chapel service, he said, I got in my car, I headed home, going down the Pennsylvania Turnpike. When I saw a young man hitchhiking on the side of the road and I picked him up, he said, I know you're not supposed to do that. And here's how he said it. I'm a Baptist preacher, and any time you get a captive audience, you preach. So we pulled back onto the highway. I didn't introduce myself. I said, my name's Tony Campolo. What's yours? My name is Charlie Stolfus. Campolo said, I didn't say a word. I drove down the turnpike, got off at the next exit, turned around and headed back. When I did that, he looked at me and said, Mister, where are you taking me? He said, I'm taking you home right now. He said, why? He says, because you left your wife and your three children. Right? He said, right. Campolo said he scooted as far over as he could against the passenger door and leaned over there the whole rest of the trip just staring at him.
drove down the turnpike, got on a side road, went straight to the Silver Trailer house. When I pulled into the drive, he looked at me with astonishment and said, "How did you know I lived here?" And Campolo said, "God told me." He said, "Well, I believe he did." Leaning on my head and all, you know. He kind of adds as a side, "I think God may set up things like that just for fun." He said, "I told him, Charlie, you get in that house, and I'm coming in, and I want to talk to you and your wife." So, Mr. Stolfus ran into the house ahead of him. He said, "I don't know what he said to his wife, but when I got in there, her eyes were as wide as saucers." Sat them down and said, "I'm going to talk to you, and you're going to listen." And man, did they listen. And during the next hour, he said, "I led them to an experience in Christ." And the last part of the testimony, this wasn't in the book, but I looked it up further. He said, "That man is a Pentecostal preacher now." Leaning on ahead, not doing it just right, but God heard that faculty member's prayer. Now, I've never had an incident like that, and you and I may never have an incident like that, but things like that happen. And whether or not you have a Charlie incident, it may not be as dramatic, but you know what? You may have had one and not have realized it. I've wondered how many times when we knocked on doors or when we handed a tract or we did some other kind of outreach, I wonder whose prayer we were answering. Some grandmother, some aunt, some loved one, some friend. We baptized a lady today, folks. Brother Goddard had contacted Brother Reaver, and a family, is it in the area where he lives now or in South Carolina, Brother Reaver? A family in South Carolina had been telling this lady, who was a family member, a sister, I believe it. This lady we baptized had been baptized already, but had not been baptized in Jesus' name. That sister kept telling her and emphasizing to her. And this lady began to feel the need. "You need to be baptized in Jesus' name." And today, she was. Great things are happening. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Just keep trusting God. Would you stand with me right now and would you just give thanks to the Lord? I thank you for hearing us, oh God. I thank you for giving us the channel and the avenue and the approach and the access to be able to talk with you, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead, just talk to him right now. Oh Lord, help us. You know what's in our lives and what's on our hearts, and we don't need another ritual. We need a relationship with you, God. We need a conversation with you. We've got needs. Oh Lord, we've got needs. God, protocol is fine in its place, but we've got to have you, and we've got to have your spirit, and we've got to have your guidance, and oh Lord, and we want to respond to that, Lord. We want to respond to that, Jesus. Oh, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I just received a report, and I won't be able to give it all, but reports of what has happened all around the world just during this pandemic. Missionaries that get stranded in one place. Our Patrick Miller family stranded in Cambodia when making travel, and things shut down while they were making travel, but they started ministering there. They went to a city, to the capital city, and they traveled 2 hours outside of that on one day to a denominational church, and in a very small service that morning, 7 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, including the pastor. I'm not going to lengthen things out. I've got 3 or 4 pages. I'm just telling you, God is doing great things. Somebody raised back from the dead. It was all happening when perhaps the world was being shut down. God is never shut down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's answered your prayer before, hasn't he? He's done it before. Would you give him a praise for that right now? Lord, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, O Lord. We praise you, O Lord. Yes, we do. We praise you, O God. Thank you for it.